Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The Marvel Animated Series universe expands Friday with the Disney Channel debut of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Executive producers Steve Loader and Rodney Clouden join me next from Los Angeles. Also ahead, Super Bowling news notes, our new classic trivia question, and less Super Bowl pregame, more Super Bowl original alternatives. That's something I'd like to see. Hey, everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iTunes, Spotify, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. It's high noon on the East Coast, 9 a.m. on the West, so whether you're having lunch or breakfast or something in between, wherever you are in this nation around the world, we welcome you to this earlier than usual Monday edition of the program about TV's current and future. 49 big degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. It's bright and sunny. We are expected to go up to 50 degrees, and we may even hit more. And it's supposed to be a big 50-plus degree week all week long here in the Big Apple. Happy to have you with us. Wonderful guests coming away over the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. We have a question or a comment for our guests. Just go ahead and ring your thoughts in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We've got our Chapman business well, and we want to hear you in it. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon or Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tune, Stream. Follow the instructions, and other people be interactive with you. And our two guests from Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur will join us live from L.A. and interact with us after these news notes. We're 6 days to Super Bowl, and Fox has no more advertising time to sell within the game. The price for 30 seconds of ad running, between $6 and $7 million. This bank's spots include Anheuser-Busch, Frito-Lay, and FanDuel, whose commercial was presented live with Rob Gronkowski supposedly involved. In a separate development, HBO's latest episode of its acclaimed new series, The Last of Us, will run this Friday on HBO Max first, instead of after its usual Sunday premiere. HBO will still run the episode, its number 5, Super Bowl Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Showtime is greenlighting The Department, a political thriller set in France. George Clooney will serve as executive producer and director. The program will be adapted from a French series about the country's Bureau of Legends, now in its 5th season. Yellowstone maker 101 Studios will collaborate with MTV Entertainment Studios and Clooney's own Smokehouse Pictures on this Showtime adventure. Now with Trio of Quickies, Matthew McConaughey will voice Elvis Presley for Netflix's new adult toon series, Agent Elvis, coming next month. Former Food Network personality Curtis Stone will make his TV series return with Elevate Your Everyday Cooking, launching in April on the independently owned channel, Wondrium. An APX group will inherit a series development agenda from Burning Wheel Productions. Projects include American Tabloid, It's All About the Press, from author Brent Easton Ellis, and a series developed with the estate of Dracula author Bram Stoker. And that is news notes for today. Whenever you think of Marvel animated TV series, you might think of the proper characters or the more familiar characters that you would devote a series to, like Captain America, The Incredible Hulk, Spider-Man, The Avengers, The Silver Surfer, The Fantastic Four, etc., etc. Well, this Friday, the Disney Channel will be launching a new Marvel series based on two of its more modern characters. They're actually set here in New York, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. The series will premiere on Disney Channel at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, then 5 days later, premiere on Disney+. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an interactive exclusive, two of the executive producers of the series, Steve Loader and Rodney Clouden. Steve and Rodney, welcome in.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
We're excited to be here.
It's great to have you both with us. And Steve, I'll start with you. How did these two Marvel characters get into your thinking about making it a series?
Well, it actually all starts with Lawrence Fishburne in a comic book store. Lawrence Fishburne loves comic books. And so he fell in love with this new comic, which came out in the 2000s, Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Although Devil Dinosaur existed kind of way back with Jack Kirby, kind of, we're going kind of way back, we're talking like 40s, 50s, 60s kind of time zone. And so, but he never knew of Moon Girl. He knew of Moon Boy, but Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur was a fairly new Marvel title. He read it. He fell in love with it. He brought it to Helen Sugland, his producing partner at Cinema Gypsy, which is the company that make Blackish, Grownish, Mixedish, and said, this is a perfect vehicle for an animated series. So calls were made to Disney, calls were made to Marvel, and here we go. They called me in and said, hey, we need someone to kind of help us turn this into an animated series. And Lawrence was familiar with my work. I had done, I produced and directed series Kim Possible. I did a movie, Tinkerbell and the Legend of the Never Beast, and he thought that I would be a really good partner on this particular show.
Mm-hmm. Rodney, this is something very different from Lawrence Fishburne to do. You would think of him doing and executive producing his own live-action projects. You don't think of him doing an animated project. What about these characters really appealed to him and ultimately to you?
Well, I think if I can get into Lawrence's brain, I think the fact that it was just unusual to see a black girl who is into STEM and just having that as a main character in a comic book, you don't get to see that too much. And that's what drew me into it. And also, I'm sure that's what drew Lawrence into it, you know, and that she's got a dinosaur as a partner to fight crime in the Lower East Side. That's intriguing in itself.
Mm-hmm. Steve, this is a very unusual show for Marvel to do because it's contemporary. It's set in New York, specifically the Lower East Side, and it also deals a little bit with this very brainy girl, by the way, who is played by Diamond White. We're going to talk more about her because in addition to the show, she also has a single. She does the theme song, and that single is also coming out on Friday. But talk about how the tone of the show and the fact that because you had done Kim Possible, which is also about a very brainy woman, a very brainy teenager, how this sort of plays in, what kind of motif you were trying to aim with the series.
Well, I've been really fortunate. I've been able to work on shows that have had strong female protagonists, and it's been really, really great. So when this opportunity came along to do one of the smartest characters in the Marvel Universe set in New York City, it was such a great opportunity because I'm from New York City, Lawrence is from New York City, Rodney's from New York City. So we wanted to do something which was also kind of a love letter to our hometown. And in fact, when we were doing New York City for this show, I wanted to make sure that it was authentic New York City because I had seen it misrepresented in so many other animated projects. So actually, when you see the show, you'll see that streets are the actual architecture, street signs. It's the actual real Lower East Side because that was really important to us because Rodney and I knew that if we didn't get it right, we wouldn't be let back into the New York. So we had to make sure it was correct.
Mm-hmm. Rodney, how do these two characters, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, complement each other? Because Devil Dinosaur has been pulled by Moon Girl from the future into this day and age in New York.
Well, it's an interesting contrast of, you know, the Beauty and the Beast kind of thing, the opposites. And you have this the brains and the brawn thing happening, the motif, and you have the brains with Lunella, and then you have the brawn with Devil Dinosaur. But also what makes it interesting is that they have this relationship, this bond that they instantly have. And you get to see that Devil Dinosaur is not just from outward appearance, you're judging the appearance. It's a big red dinosaur. That's scary. But he's actually sweet. He's actually sensitive, and he has a well-rounded character and a dimension to him. So you're going to see a lot more of their relationship and see how they work together because Devil, they're partners. Devil's not her pet. Devil's her partner. So you'll get to see how they work well together and really interact.
We're speaking with Steve Loader and Rodney Clowden. They are the executive producers of Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. It's the latest tune in the Marvel TV universe, and it premieres this Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Disney Channel and 5 days later on Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Our guests join us live from Los Angeles this half hour on this early-than-usual edition of tomorrow will be televised on Monday afternoon, or Monday morning if you're out on the West Coast or in the Mountain and Central time zone. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 49 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're back on our Monday-Friday schedule, and on Friday we will be with you on our regular time period, 3 hours from now, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We are working on guest possibilities for it. We'll let you know as the week goes on through our Facebook and Twitter feeds who will be born, who will be on. So be sure to tune in. And coming up in our second half hour, we've got a brand-new classic trivia question of the week. So if you get your TV trivia brains on, you could win not one but two prizes. And also, we'll have our latest Something I'd Like to See. It's quite a little controversial given we're coming up on the Super Bowl. The whole idea, maybe it's time that we don't have a multi, like 4 or 5 hour Super Bowl pregame show on the network that's running it. And maybe we see more alternatives for everybody else who isn't watching the Super Bowl. I'll explain in our next half hour. Rodney, talk about who you had be Moon Girl, Diamond White. Where did she come from, and how did she get involved?
You know, Diamond is a pretty multi-hyphenate talent there, you know, sing, act, and everything. And, you know, she actually has a history of being on The Lion King. She was on the Lion King, the Broadway show, The Lion King, and also did some things for Disney. But, you know, it was basically when she came to audition for it, it was pretty much her role. She came and she had something. She had a quality to her voice, the way she really understood the character, and it was pretty instant from there that this was the voice. She was the one.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, not only does she voice the character, she also does the theme song, which was written and produced by Raphael Sadiq. I hope I have his name right. Raphael Sadiq, who I understand is a really terrific composer and music industry person. And I understand this is a real coup for this series and for Disney Channel to have Raphael on board.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Raphael Sadiq is absolutely amazing. I've been a fan of his since he had his band Tony, Tony, Tony. And he's produced so many people since then. John Legend, he wrote a song for Beyonce, got nominated for an Academy Award. And he's such an amazing talent. And let me tell you actually how I was able to get him on the show. So I knew that he's really busy. He's always in demand. And I figured I had to do the personal touch. So he was doing a record signing out here in L.A. And I made sure I was first in line. And he was signing my record right in front of me, and in the 30 seconds it took to sign my record, I pitched him the show, and by the end of that record, you know, being signed, we had a handshake deal to be on the show. And it's such an amazing thing, because he can do any song in any genre, and what he does is he takes the script, he reads, okay, what's the character's motivation? What's the theme that we're trying to achieve here? And then he'll go off and he'll write a song. It's like, oh, you know, this song I think would be really good if it's in this style or this style. And he'll give us something which was so great and in a lot of ways unexpected that it turns into something really, really special.
Mm-hmm. Rodney, talk about working with Lawrence Fishburne, not only in the same role you're in as executive producer, but you also actually work with him because he also has a recurring role in the show, the trickster known as the Beyonder. What's it like working with Fishburne in both capacities?
It was great, you know, because I sat in with the first time we recorded him as the Beyonder, and I'm sitting there watching him just try to hone that voice and find the character of the Beyonder and what he sounds like, what's his attitude. And it was just like a master class in just kind of finding the right tone. And it was just watching him in the recording booth and just going, wow, this is hilarious. You know, he's funny, but then also he has this charm. He's a little mischievous. And he found it. And it didn't take him very long to find that voice, which, you know, you kind of have, you're like, wow, you really marvel at the talent of Lawrence Fishburne. And it just... he really brought something and brought a life to the character, because he also got to see the design, because we also worked on the design with him and Steve and our character designer, Jose Lopez. And so seeing the design also helped him to find that character and find a voice, because it was a very unique design and very elegant and also kind of stylized. So he reached into himself to find that angle of how that would work with the actual design of the character.
Hmm. See, let's talk a little bit about the person who plays Devil Dinosaur, Fred Tatasciore. Where'd you find him, and what did you give him? What kind of guidance did you give him about playing this character?
Well, Fred is amazing. He's been in the industry for a really long time, and when he came in to do this particular voice, he told us that he does regular voices, but he also specializes in animal voices, which is a unique talent even within the voiceover animation community. And one thing that struck me really, really great about Fred is normally in a script you kind of write out, all right, dinosaur roars here, or, you know, he's angry or he's happy or he's sad, and we just get the line and we keep going. Whereas Fred was like, can you write out as if it was actual dialogue, as if it was written in English, like this is the character that, you know, this is a sentence that a character will be saying. And then he then reinterpreted that into dinosaur, you know, ups and downs, peaks and valleys in his voice to kind of emulate what we were trying to do in the script, in the narrative, which was really unique. And I think it really added a special level to that character.
Ronnie, when you look at who else is involved providing voices to your series, it is like almost a who's who of terrific actors. Just in terms of the main cast, Alfred Woodard, who has always been one of my favorite actresses, plays Noella's grandma. You have Gary Anthony Williams playing Noella's, that's the main the Moon Girl character's grandfather. And then in terms of guest cast for this first set of episodes, you got people like Pamela Adlon, Allison Brie, Andy Cohen. That's the guy from Watch What Happens Live. Diggs, Luis Guzman, who's doing very well as Gomez in the big Netflix hit Wednesday. Jennifer Hudson, Paul Scheer, Kobe Smugglin, Wesley Snipes, Craig Robinson. That's the kind of cast you rarely get in one season of an animated series.
When you say it out loud, I go, wow, yeah, amazing.
What pulled everybody, Ronnie, what pulled everybody in to do this? I mean, this is really some amazing, both main cast and guest cast.
Well, I got to give credit to just our casting department to actually even get those people to do the show. And we basically came in with a list or ambition, because Steve and I, we had that mission like, oh, what if we get, can we get this person, you know, and we just put it out there. And, you know, we just shot our shot, and, you know, we were pretty lucky that the script spoke for itself. So the actors that we approached, they read the script, and they saw that there was something in the script that they needed to do this. So I think that giving credit to our writers that really created a show that appealed to people and that they saw something that was very special in it and they needed to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we feel really, really lucky in terms of getting who we got.
Mm-hmm. Steve, what kind of villains are in this series? Now, every Marvel character, you know, Spider-Man has like Dr. Doom and the Green Goblin, or the Avengers have their like main villains that pop up every so often, Fantastic Four, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In terms of these two characters, what kind of evils do they face?
Well, I got to say, Marvel has been a fantastic partner on this project because we've put in some really bizarre requests. We ask for some of the villains that you're familiar with, but we also ask for a lot of deep cut villains because Ronnie and I are such huge comic book fans. We kind of go for those really obscure villains that you may or may not have heard about because it gives us a really great opportunity not only to give them a moment in the spotlight, but to tune them to the theme of that particular episode that we're in. We make sure that every episode of the show is about Lunella Lafayette and a relatable situation or a relatable emotion for a 13-year-old. So this episode is about impatience. This episode is about jealousy. And we usually find the villain that has an opportunity to kind of match that thematic emotion. And it's really been great because we've been deep diving into our old comic books to find some really surprising characters. But so you also see a couple of MCU characters kind of popping in and out too. So it's got a really wide range.
We're talking about Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaurs, the brand new Marvel Toon series that premieres on the Disney Channel this Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific time, then 5 days later goes on Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We're talking to executive producers Steve Loader and Rodney Clouden, both live with us from Los Angeles. Steve worked previously on Kim Possible, another long-running Disney Channel toon, and Rodney worked for a while on Futurama, among other projects as well. In a moment, we're going to talk about something very special that happened with both of them and their series this weekend that never really happens that much in Hollywood. So that's coming up shortly. And if you have a question or comment on our many minutes with Steve and Rodney, give a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Last week, we had 4 episodes for you, and I'll tell you, we had some amazing guests and topics. We talked about the upcoming Grow Pro channel. We talked about the effort to make Kentucky a major TV production state. We had a brilliant interview with R.J. Cutler, one of the great nonfiction documentary TV and film producers, whose latest work, by the way, Murph the Surf, premiered last night on MGM+. And we also had on our program on Friday, we had the executive producer of the upcoming ABC series, The Company You Keep, Lindsay Gottman, who is a major hack with her own production company of adapting Korean formats, including a little thing called The Good Doctor, into U.S. television shows. If you missed any of those programs, want to catch up, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Go to our wonderful podcast lineup, and also go to our homepage on the web. It's tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. And there's a question box at the bottom of the homepage of that website. So if there's a question about TV or yours truly, et cetera, our guests and topics you'd like to have addressed, put the question in there. If we use the question on the air, you get the credit. That's tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. Stephen Rodney, this past Saturday night, you were involved in something that animated series rarely get the chance to be part of, a red carpet ceremony in Hollywood. For either of you, what was it like being part of that?
Well, it was an amazing experience. It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's certainly coming. This show was produced almost entirely under pandemic conditions. So a lot of us just kind of knew each other from a Zoom square box. And to see each other in person was a really wonderful experience. But I think that you're right. It was unusual for an animated series, but it kind of shows how Disney and Marvel feel about the show. They love the show, and they fully support it.
Yeah, it was a kind of real experience. This was my first red carpet for me, and I'm sort of this old half for Steve, but it was also just in terms of like when he mentioned that we did the whole production through pandemic, that now that we're all together and we're watching it in the theater and you're getting the response instantly from the audience, because we've lived with this for like 2-3 years and we love Lunella and we love the dinosaur, but to see the response from the audience live, it's a whole different thing.
Are there any plans, given the fact that the series is based in New York City, to do a separate screening here in New York?
Oh, I hope so. I really do. I mean, I think that there was you guys are having some crazy weather out there right now. I know that. But there was always hopes of actually doing something in the Lower East Side, and I still think that's a possibility in the future. I would love to do that.
All right, Disney, Paley Center, somebody, make it happen. After all, this is a New York-based show.
You put it out there.
Really great. Rodney, something else that's really great is that even though your first season starts Friday, you already have a second season. Are you and Steve and your writers and storyboard people, et cetera, already thinking about how you want to expand the story in a second season?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we were working on the first season, but we were also talking about the arc of the second season. And, to get that green light so early was we were – sort of prepared for that already, started in the works, just like thinking of ideas, just writing down tons of ideas for shows, for episodes. So But yeah, it was really great to get that confirmation that we got a second season, and we can really expand on that because, yeah, we were already talking about what would be next for Lunella and Devil Dinosaur.
Go back to the Saturday night event. In terms of the audience reaction for both of you, what was the greatest feeling for you about the audience reaction? What did they get that you appreciated the most?
Well, it's always really gratifying when you see that you've timed your jokes right and the comedy works. So to hear laughs was always a great thing. But I wasn't prepared for how emotionally swept up I personally got in it. I mean, I've seen the episode many, many times. But I think by the ending of the episode, because, you know, this it's not really a spoiler, but Lunella becomes Moon Girl through this episode. I think by the end of her journey for this particular episode, I was swept up in the emotion of it. It's been a long journey.
Yeah, I feel like just watching it, and then there are moments where there are some really emotional moments, and you could hear it in the audience. There were some, your kids were actually upset, you know, and it's something about just that our show is about cross-pollination. So it's not just a kid's show. It's something for a family to watch. So the kids will get a joke. Everybody will get the joke. Then maybe the parent will get the certain joke. Then there might be a teenager who gets the certain joke. But it's something for everybody in there. And then just hearing the responses of the certain jokes or certain things in there, and it's like, oh, it landed. And that was like the greatest feeling. But yeah, there was a big swell of emotion for me, once it got to, there were some moments in the episode, and it got that response, and you're like, yes, yes, that's what we wanted. That's what we were hoping for.
But it all ends well. I just want to point that out.
Yes.
Yes.
It all ends well.
One kid got particularly upset in the screening, but then came back in and saw, oh, no, everything is going to be great. So he had a good time.
Yeah.
Let's wrap on this note. For both of you, what's it like to, A, put together the next chapter of Marvel's run of animated series, and, B, the next chapter of Disney Channel's run of hit animated series? I mean, over the years, Kim Possible, Big City Greens of late, Gravity Falls, Phineas and Ferb, which is going to be revived, by the way, as was announced a couple of weeks ago. You have this great track. You have both of these track records, Marvel with animation, Disney Channel with animation. What's it like for both of you to sort of be in on the next, you know, put the next wave together?
Well, it's an honor. I mean, I've been at Disney for quite a long time, and I understand the responsibility as a storyteller, because when you have that logo on there, there's, you know, it's kind of a trust between, you know, artist and audience in a lot of ways, that this is going to be something that's going to be funny, that's going to move you, that's going to have great music. So I don't take that responsibility lightly. And then you add the Marvel component on top of that, being such a huge Marvel fan and the legacy that they've created with these characters, which is also really emotional and heartfelt. So it's a real honor to be able to kind of carry this kind of through the finish line, because it means so much to us, and we're really hoping that it means so much to the audience.
And it's something kind of like a, you know, we're a new guard of the legacy, and in terms of just what this show is going to introduce to the audience, to the world, you know, just because it's different, it sounds different, it looks different, and just that people will see this and say they want, it's something that is going to be unexpected from Disney, you know, something different from what they expect from our brand. So it is an honor just to be able to bring something new and fresh. And I think people are going to really, I know because we've been getting a lot of positive responses. We had a view of our trailer, and it was like 8.5 million views in 3 days. So we know that people are excited and waiting for this project to come out. And I think that they're not going to be disappointed. And we're just going to keep the legacy of great storytelling, action, and heart from Marvel and Disney. Keep it going. with Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
A new chapter for both the Disney Channel and Marvel when it comes to animated programming begins this Friday on the Disney Channel, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, with the launch of Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, which has already been given the green light for a second season. And then 5 days later, it will be running on Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More details about the program online, here's two places you can go, DisneyChannel.com and DisneyPlus.com. That's DisneyChannel.com or DisneyChannel.ca and DisneyPlus.com. Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, first chapter runs this Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Disney Channel, and then later in the month on the Ides of February on Disney Plus. Steve Loader, Rodney Clouden, thank you both very, very much for coming on early on a Monday to be with us. Congratulations on what I hope will be the beginning this Friday of a great, great long run, including the second season green light, and all the very best to both of you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Rob. It was great talking with you. Thank you.
Same here, Steve and Rodney. Take care. Enjoy to the max this week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve Loader and Rodney Clouden joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, we will have our answer to the current classic trivia question and a brand new classic trivia question now with two prizes in play. And then something I'd like to see. Maybe it's time that big monumental Super Bowl pregame show on the network that runs the game, it's time for it to, well, get reduced. Maybe it's also time that we see more original things you can watch beyond the Super Bowl in case you don't watch the game. That's something I'd like to see. We'll explain as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com. Together, reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Women Who Jam Radio. It's from Jay King and his crew, the folks behind Kings in the Morning. You'll find Women Who Jam Radio on BTR today, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. That's Women Who Jam Radio. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, earlier than usual on a Monday afternoon. It's afternoon Eastern time. It's still morning on the West Coast. Tom and Ab, I'm with you from wherever you are around the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune and Radio. 49 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, at the bottom of the hour, too. And if you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes this half hour, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our new regular feature, Something I'd Like to See, will come your way a little bit. The first time for our classic trivia segment, and as it turned out, nobody got the answer to our question we posed over the last 2 weeks. So nobody wins the wonderful new book, 7 Ways to Become a Famous Doctor by Roland Perez, the host of the popular PBS series America's Health Journal. It's also a 24/7 channel on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. The question, 77 Sunset Strip was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.'s first TV series as star or co-star, first live-action TV series as star or co-star. What was his last? The answer, well, we actually gave you 3 hints the last week. One, it was the revival of an action-adventure series produced by Walt Disney in the late 1950s, early 60s. Second, it was not presented on a broadcast network. And three, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. only did the first season of it. The answer, Zorro, or the new Zorro. It starred in January of 1990 on the Family Channel. It was produced by New World Television. It was produced in Madrid, Spain. And Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. played the father of Don Diego, the Zorro character, who in this version was played by Duncan McGeer. He was an actor who played Errol Flynn in a CBS movie made for television called My Wicked, Wicked Ways. The series ran 4 seasons, 88 episodes, from January of 1990 to January, almost February, of 1993. Very, very popular. It had a screening at the Paley Center for Media, at that time known as the Museum of TV and Radio. I was there for it. Terrific show, great production values. McGeer was marvelous, so was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. in the first season. Why did he stay beyond the first? It was because of the fact the show was done in Madrid, Spain. Didn't want to be too far away from his family. So Henry Darrow, you may know him for his co-starring role in the popular NBC Western, The High Chaparral, of the late 1960s, early 70s. He became Don Diego's father and stayed with it for the rest of the run. So our answer, Zorro, was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.'s last live-action television series as star co-star back in 1990. All right, time for a brand new question. And if you're first with the correct answer, we have 2 prizes in play. We've got that book, 7 Ways to Become a Famous Doctor. And we also have a wonderful CD for you, Ultimate Petula Clark, the wonderful musical star who who had a great run of hits in the 1960s, Downtown, I Know a Place, My Love, Sign of the Times, many, many more. Also is in the movie Goodbye, Mr. Chips, opposite Peter O'Toole, who won the Academy Award nomination for playing that very, very iconic role of the English school teacher. So both those prizes can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name a game show hosted by Bobby Vann. Name a game show hosted by Bobby Vann. Bobby Vann, of course, was the MGM musical star of such films as Kiss Me, Kate, which was, by the way, on this past Saturday at noon as part of the new musical matinee day part of Turner Classic Movies with Dave Carger. Also, he was in the Affairs of Dobie Gillis before the TV series with Dwayne Hickman. And then he was a Broadway star in the revival of No, No, Nanette. He did a lot of TV episodic work in various ways. And then in the 1970s, he did not one, not two, but three game shows. And if you can name any one of them, you will win our two prizes. So once again, the question, name a game show hosted by Bobby Vann. We will take any of the three answers. And if you know the answer or any of the three, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, enclose your name and your mailing address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. If you are a previous winner or a guest on this program, you are not eligible. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So make it happen. Once again, the question, name a game show hosted by Bobby Vann. Two prizes in play, seven ways to become a famous doctor by Roland Perez, and the ultimate Petula Clark CD. Remember, they can be yours, so get your TV trivia smarts on, and all the very best. And now it's time for our regular feature that we started about a month and a half ago called Something I'd Like to See. We get a little personal here, and it's about Something I'd Like to See TV do. And given the fact that we are 6 days away from the Super Bowl, our Something I'd Like to See this time is Super Bowl related. I know that a lot of you are getting ready for the big game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. Looks like it's going to be one of the best Super Bowls in recent memory. Fox will be having it. Game will start around 6:30, 6:35 Eastern time, 3:30, 3:35 on the West Coast. I have no doubt that it will have over 100 people watching the game as it usually does every year. You know, time was when the Super Bowl started in the late 1960s, and for a long time, when it came to the pregame show, that the network running the game, whether it was CBS or NBC or ABC, it would be a half hour and then later on an hour. And then it became 90 minutes. And then it became 2 hours. And when Fox runs their pregame show this coming Sunday, February 12th, it's probably going to be something in the neighborhood of 5 to 6 hours. I got to tell you, that's too much. To sort of quote a Price is Right pricing game, that's too much. And for crying out loud, do we really need 5 to 6 hours on one network devoted to the game and all the various facets? It's become so bloated. It's not just anymore about the players, the coaches, the inspiring stories, the strategies in the game, what each team is good at or their weaknesses. Now it's like all these like pregame concerts and other stuff that has nothing whatsoever to do with the game. And then you, of course, have all these commercial breaks and all the commercials within the break. And by the time you see the game, it's like enough already. So here's something I'd like to see. It's time to go back to the basics. 1 hour, maybe 90 minutes. No more than that. Whoever runs the game, in this case Fox, next year at CBS, no more than 60 to 90 minutes of pregame. And just stay with the basics. The teams, the strategies, the unknown, the X factors, predictions, the coaches. And then, how about this? At the end of the pregame, or before the end of the pregame, at 6 o'clock Eastern time, 3 p.m. Pacific, do the opening ceremony. Finish it up with the Star-Spangled Banner, done in very inspiring fashion. That way you start 6 o'clock with the coin toss, the introduction of the players, and then 6:10, start the game. If you start the game at 6:10 rather than 6:30 or 6:35, A, you will wrap up the game by 9:30 unless it goes into overtime. Then you have a half hour for the pregame show, of the postgame show. Get all that in. End at 10 o'clock, and then you have 10 to 11 o'clock to premiere a new series or do a special episode of one of your favorites. And you make sure that you don't have to go half, and the local stations will be very happy for you because they won't have to delay the start of their late local newscast beyond 11 o'clock local time. How about that? And also, how about doing the pregame show with limited commercial interruption? And not get it full of, you know, so many commercial breaks and so many commercials within each break. Remember, this is one of the big reasons why more people are going to smart TV set and smart TV device distributed services that are either commercial free or have 3 to 5 minutes an hour and no break runs longer than a minute or 90 seconds tops. It's really time to get back to basics on a pregame show. Why not? Make the pregame show work and start the game earlier. Let's not wait till 6:35. Start the game at 6:10. Use the pregame show to do some of the opening ceremonies and the Star-Spangled Banner and make it happen. You might have a more enjoyable experience out of it, and you might even have more viewers to come in and watch the game from the start. Now, as I mentioned before, here's the other thing I'd like to see. Again, there are about 100 million people who are going to watch the game. Keep in mind that we are a nation, these United States, of about 350-plus million people. That means that there are 250-plus million people, not counting illegal immigration, which may add a bunch million more, that might be, maybe, would like something else to watch instead of the Super Bowl. It seems that every time a Super Bowl is on, that we have a Super Bowl Sunday, when the game is on, everybody else goes out of business. Everybody else turns off. Everybody else puts a, close sign. So everywhere else, on broadcast and cable television, it's reruns. Or it sure feels like it. Why can't everybody else who is not watching the Super Bowl be served? Why can't you have, for example, the Puppy Bowl go on live opposite the Super Bowl rather than before? Or how about doing a night of original game show episodes? If you're CBS, for example, why not at 8 o'clock after an original episode of 60 Minutes do Let's Make a Deal at Night, followed by The Price is Right at night at 9 o'clock, followed by a 10 o'clock lingo? Why not do original episodes? If you're ABC, why not do, you know, a night of original dramas? You know, The Rookie, the Rookie Feds, or comedies. Like The Conners. Why not? Or if you're another network or a cable network, why not have other sports events on? Or why not have, you know, a live concert? You know, why not have an Adele concert or a concert with, a classical music concert, for example, on Ovation? Or Bravo doing an original episode of their script, of their unscripted series? Or if you're Food Network, do Tournament of Champions, which, by the way, will be premiering next week or the week after. Why not have original episodes? Why just... feed the time to the Super Bowl. No, you're not going to get 100 million viewers, but you'll get maybe 3, 4, 5. It's worth it. Why not? Serve the people that are not being served. Like I said, 100 million people are still going to watch the Super Bowl, and that means 250 million more people. If you're Nickelodeon, or let's say if you're Disney Channel, how about putting on a night of Marvel's Moon Girl and Double Dinosaur and Big City Green, an original episode of Big City Green, an original episode of ladybug, and so forth. Why not? And by the way, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, etc., Disney Plus, HBO Max, they shouldn't be out of business. And incidentally, I think HBO should not have decided that HBO Max should get the first go on the latest episode of The Last of Us. Put it on HBO. That's where it's supposed to go. You'll still get 5 million, 6 million people watching. That's how great the show is, and the critical acclaim, and the audience reaction. Why should it be, you know, one original thing here and nothing else anywhere else? The whole idea of television is to offer at any given time a wide variety, a wide spectrum of programming. That's why Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and HBO Max and Peacock, et cetera, that's why all of these networks are out there, not to mention all the individual networks that are running on smart sets and devices and multi-channel bundles. They're there because they provide diversity and equality, if you will, in the TV experience. And by the way, if I'm Home Shopping Network or QVC, I'd be live too. I wouldn't be off the air. I wouldn't be, you know, not in business. I'd be trying to sell good merchandise. Why not? And if I'm Roku or I'm, you know, any of the exclusive services that Vizio and Samsung and LG are presenting on their smart TV sets or devices, I'd have original programming there. I'd have counter program. Why can't we counter program? There's an audience out there that would love it. Trust me, there is an audience out there that would love it. They would love you to counter program. And you get a few million people. Give them an give them something to watch. Serve an audience. That's what you're there for. Open Garden TV, same thing. History Channel, same thing. A&E, same thing. USA, same thing. You know, get out there and serve your audience. And by the way, don't just throw the show up. Promote it. Publicize it. If you're going to do something unique and original on Super Bowl Sunday, tell people about it. Let them know. Go all out. You might be surprised. Less Super Bowl pregame, 69 minutes tops, and more original Super Bowl alternatives. That's something I'd like to see. What do you think? Love to hear from you. If you want, in the next few minutes, you can give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name, or email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Love to hear from you. And you can also go to our wonderful question box at our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. By the way, if you send in a question about this or our other topics or yours truly or about the world of television in general, and we use your question on the air and answer it, you get the credit. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this special earlier-than-usual Monday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, thank you to our guests Steve Loader and Rodney Clouden, the executive producers of Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, premieres this Friday night, February 10th, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Disney Channel, then 5 days later runs on Disney+. So thank them for taking time out early, their time in Los Angeles, to be with us. And thanks to all of you for taking your time to be with us earlier than usual. We're back in our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific on Friday. We're working on a couple of guest possibilities, so stay in touch with us on social media to find out who they are. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage. It's available. They're available to you right now at blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. T-E-L-E-V-I-S-E-D. And they're also available 24/7 on our wonderful selection of great podcast affiliates. That's the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Vrbo, Podvine.com, and other leading podcast sites. And by the way, if there's a podcast site that doesn't take our show and you want it to, let them know. Be nice about it. Let me know. We'll talk to them. Let us know who to talk to. We'll get the negotiations going. We're working, by the way, with Westwood One on trying to get on their podcast network and Cumulus Media's podcast network also. We'll keep you posted. Hopefully we'll maybe get an answer as early as this week, and we'll see what happens. And we're still trying to get Audible, by the way, to come on board as well. And remember, we love hearing from you. You make this show fly. So we want to hear you. We want to get your thoughts about the topics and guests we have on, and we want to know what you think about the world of television. I still would like to hear your thoughts about our guest on Friday, Adam Wiener, the founder of Continuous Media, and his thoughts that within the next year, you may get the opportunity to get a smart TV set for free from the likes of a Samsung, an LG, a Sony, a Vizio, et cetera, and what comes with it. So let's hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, enclose your name and your mailing and your address. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week, the new question we introduced a few moments ago. Name a game show hosted by Bobby Vann. Name a game show hosted by Bobby Vann. Email me the answer. Put down your name and mailing address. Remember, it has to be by email. And if you're a previous winner or a guest on this program, you are not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow on Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, you can also use my email to submit a possibility for our ongoing feature of Show to Know. Is there a TV series you like that doesn't get enough attention, you want it to? Well, let us know about it. Give us all the information about the show, where it's at, and so forth, time period, et cetera. And if we use your thoughts on the air, you get the credit. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You also follow me regularly on social media at Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. However you communicate with me, I communicate back with you within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website services provided by On Podium, the Internet's new and great podcast outpost. Guitarist Bakus is our web coordinator. For tomorrow be televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday and your week. We are back at our regular time Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Of course you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, all of our great podcast affiliates, and our website. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe. And, of course, make it the greatest it can be for you and others you love. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.